The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever has my commandments and observes them is the one who loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, "Master, then what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Yet the word you hear is not mine, but that of the Father who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you." The Gospel of the Lord. There's a surprising thing in today's Gospel. At first glance, it seems that God is telling us that his love is conditional for us. "Whoever loves me," he says, "will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and reveal myself to him." A little later, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and my Father will love him. We will come to him and make our dwelling with him." Is God's love for us conditioned on our loving him first? That's what it seems. Of course, we know that that's not true. St. John will tell us in his first letter, "And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he has loved us and handed over his Son as an expiation for our sins." St. Paul will tell us that God loved us while we were still sinners, people choosing others rather than God, loved us while we were still sinners, sent his Son as the atonement for our sins. So God does love us first. He is one, as Jesus would describe in the Sermon on the Mount, who lets his rain fall in the fields of the good and the bad, and his sun shine on the good and the evil. He loves us always, and he loves us first. So then what does Jesus mean? Why does he phrase things this way? The ultimate reason is the only way we can adequately receive that love of God and experience it is when we are loving him too. Pope Francis loves that image of the heart, that it both pumps in and pumps out blood. And if it's not pumping out blood, it's dead and can't have blood pumped in. Unless it's pumping out love, it can't receive love. Pope Benedict had another image, which he said, "Love is idem velle, idem nolle." That you want the same things and that you reject the same evils. And unless we're wanting what God wants, our capacity to receive his love is shrunken, if not the door is closed. So for us to grow in this love of the Lord, this experience of his love, we must first be open genuinely to receive it and then to pour it out. There's an interesting question here, and an even more interesting answer by Jesus. Judas, not the Iscariot, said to him, "Master, what happened that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? Didn't you basically say that ultimately the light is going to be brought to all nations? That who you are is meant to be revealed. God's love is meant to be shared with the whole world. What are you talking about? Why is it just going to be revealed to us and not to everybody?" Jesus hadn't changed his plans. But he was talking about two different types of revelation. It wasn't just mere proclamation as the seed sown. But he wanted to give himself. He wanted to enter into a deep, loving bond. In order for that to occur, that's why he didn't seemingly answer Judas's question directly. Instead, he talked again about keeping his word so that the love of God could enter on in. Recently, I was having a conversation with one of my spiritual directees, and she had had a grace on a retreat with regard to the intimacy that God wants to have. And that was changing her interior life, but she had lots of questions about even where the word intimacy comes from. And so we had an interesting conversation about it. But the intimacy that the Lord wants to have is he wants to totally reveal himself to us. He wants to pour himself out in love. But in order for that to occur, we've got to be willing to meet him at that deep level, not stay at a superficial level of activity. It's got to be a love that starts from the heart and gets to all our actions. And sometimes people never discover that in life. They have faith in Jesus. They have some type of external relationship. But it never becomes idem vale, idem nolle. Never becomes truly this thing of having experienced his deep love, that we love him back naturally and supernaturally, and that love overflows. For many, it remains just a thing of external duty, rather than in this intimate self-revelation in which we share everything with each other. Jesus reveals himself totally, and we reveal ourselves totally to him, even when we're having really bad days, even when parts of ourselves are disgusting to ourselves. We share it with him, that at a spiritual level we're naked and unashamed, because we know he loves us and we can be truly ourselves. Jesus wants that relationship. But there are three more or less conditions we can talk about from today's readings to make that possible. The first is humility. Unless we have a deep sense of who we are, nothing on the one hand and everything on the other, a humble creature, but a humble creature infinitely loved by God, it's going to be hard for us to grow in this intimate loving bond. If we're self-centered, if we're egocentric, it's going to be hard for God's love to penetrate that shell. We see an extraordinary example of humility in today's first reading. Paul heals this man crippled from birth. And everybody in Lystra comes to try to sacrifice to them. Paul and Barnabas had had a rough going of it in Galatia. Might have been okay to have a little respite in which, rather than being persecuted, you're being treated almost as if the incarnation of the pagan gods. They refused it absolutely from the beginning. You know, we are men just like you. One of the reasons why both were able to receive the love of God and share it so effectively across the globe was because they recognized who God was and who they were, and what an extraordinary thing it was that God in all his majesty loved a creature so small. St. Paul would always talk about having experienced God's merciful love, even though he, as one abnormally born, the word there is abortion, as one born dead, God the Father loved him back to life. The first thing is we've got to be humble. Humble in both senses. We don't think we're too low. We don't think we're too high. We recognize who we are. And what lifts us up is, in fact, God's interest. Second condition is suffering. The passage from the Acts of the Apostles begins very laconically that there was an attempt in Iconium to to attack and stone Paul and Barnabas. We'll see tomorrow that the people here in Lystra are going to stone Paul and kill him, but he will be raised from the dead. The whole rest of St. Paul's life is going to be one suffering after another. But he recognized in his sufferings that he was never abandoned, that God's love was greater, and that Paul likewise grasped that he could love the Lord through all those sufferings, that those sufferings were a purification of self-love. Third condition is the Holy Spirit, to cooperate docilely with the work of the Spirit. At the end of today's passage, I told you this while I'm with you, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I taught you. Will bring us even more intimately into God's own love. We need the power of the Spirit, that person, that interpersonal love between the Father and the Son, who seeks to bring us into that loving communion of persons. Today the Church celebrates the feast of St. Bernardino of Siena, and you remember what today's opening prayer was, finished by asking God that we may be aflame with the Spirit of His love. And that Spirit of love is personal. St. Bernardino of Siena was one who was filled with this Spirit. He's most famous for his zeal in preaching. And he preached above all one thing. Here in the church, I've been waiting for May 20th to be able to talk about it. I'm really disappointed that the church doesn't give us John 13:34 at all during this season to be able to talk about it, but we will later on this week when we get to John 15 more or less hear its echoes. But up above the baldachin, we see the trigrammaton, IHS. First three consonants in Jesus' Greek name, but also in Latin, an acrostic, Jesus Hominum Salvator, Jesus the Savior of the human race. At a time in which there were gang battles between the Guelphs and the Ghibellines, like the Crips and the Bloods in L.A. today, they had their standards, they had their symbols. And so St. Bernardino, who was an incredibly down-to-earth preacher, very graphic, he said, we've got to be part of Jesus' posse. And this is our sign. This is our shield. Not everybody approved of his methods. In fact, he was accused of being a heretic, not only for things like this, but even preaching about the healing power of Jesus' name as if it were somehow independent. And Jesus, when Pope Martin V summoned him to Rome to defend himself, St. Bernardino did such a great job in defending himself that the Pope asked him to preach a mission there in Rome. And the mission went on for 80 days. He used to preach at dawn, 6 o'clock in the morning, so that people would begin their day with the Word of God, allowing that word to penetrate their life so that the whole rest of their day could overflow with the love of God. He was one who, like Paul and Barnabas, was truly humble, taking very seriously his Franciscan vocation and living it strictly. He was more or less the second founder of the strictly observant Franciscans. Likewise, he was one capable of great suffering, and he suffered a lot outside the church and inside the church. But all of that just made him more and more aflame with the Spirit of the Lord's love. Today we come forward in order to celebrate this man. And Jesus wants to have the most intimate relationship with us possible, entering into a spousal communion with us on the marriage bed of the church, which is the altar. And Jesus says, to grow in his love, we will keep his word. And the Father will love us. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will come to us and make their dwelling within us. I know some people are a little bit disappointed that there is not the beautiful tabernacle there that I can't wait to see. But we're about to become tabernacles. And my clerics and your habits are those beautiful veils.